Okay, everyone, let's get started. I can see there's a few one that is walking in. If you could please take a seat. We want to get started on time. We have a lot of stuff we want to show you. So welcome very much to this session where we call the Application Lifecycle Management Using System Center 2012. My name is Anders Wengenholt, and I work as a program manager for the System Center engineering team. And with me today, I have Patrick.
Hi guys, thanks for being here. My name is Patrik Sundqvist. I work for the Swedish company GridPro. We focus on solutions around System Center Suite, and I'm very glad to be here. And together with me is my business partner, Mr. Jonas Ullman.
My name is Jonas Ullman, and I'm a solution architect from GridPro as well, with the focus on orchestrator and config manager.
Okay. So, really, as we say, this is really a joint collaboration between GridPro and Microsoft, where we want to show you some of the solutions you can actually put together using System Center and TFS. So, some of the things that GridPro have done, you can see here, they have a web page if you want to see more about that. They also have some stuff on Coplex that they put up there. But really, what we want you to take away from this session is really understand how System Center and TFS can work together to actually make the processes that you have both on the development side and also on the operational side, how you can actually make them work better together. The other thing we also want to show you is actually a really cool demo. Our goal here is really to have me talk as little as possible and have Jonas and Patrick talk a lot as possible, because those are the demo guys. The agenda is really just that we do a little short introduction to the application lifecycle. Then we're going to show you, or at least explain the scenario, so you kind of have an idea of what is the overall story that we are trying to show here. And then lastly, we're going to show you the demo of how we're actually doing this in the data center. So really, one of the reasons why we sat down and we wanted to create a session that talks about this issue, it's really that there's been done some research that there's really a lot of money going into this, and people are having a really hard time controlling the actual challenge against developing software, but also putting into operations, and actually also understanding how do we define the roles and who does what in the infrastructure. As you see up there, it's very common that you have specialists working, developing some software, and at some day, they take the software and they throw it over the fence because now they want to put it into operations. Well, because those are the only guys that actually knows about how this software works, you actually see that these developers certainly have two jobs. They are kind of half operating over here, while at the same time, they are working on another software development project where they are told to develop something else. And then that's not really the optimal goal, because you really have this only developer knowing how to actually operate this application. So that's one of the things we really want to avoid here, making sure that people stay in their roles and can continue doing that and have a consistent way of actually making sure you can put this software into production. So really what this slide is showing, and is really also worth like spending a few seconds looking at, is really that one of the hardest things to do in the IT infrastructure is actually that all the knowledge that we have is stored inside people's head, and the hardest thing really to do here is to get that knowledge outside people's head and start using it in the enterprise. And that's really what that graph is, or circle diagram is showing on the left. On the other side, it's really that maintenance and deployment is really covering 61% of the expenses used inside the data center. So really, when we look at that, and we also saw in the keynote that Brad talked about today, what we really want to do here is twofold it. So we really wanted to focus on the IT app, the IT service that you're delivering, but what we want to do with System Center at the same time, and also using TFS, we want to use the lifecycle, the application lifecycle that we have, in order to really do this in the right way. What we're going to focus on here, most of this session, is actually what we see here. We want to give you some examples of how we can actually build the application, how we can deploy it, and how we can operate it in a standardized, automated way in here. And we do that by using System Center 2012 and also by using TFS 2012 inside Visual Studio. So this is really the main focus that we want to talk about here. The other thing we also wanted to talk about, and Brad also mentioned this in the keynote earlier, is that we have two personas that we are looking at inside the enterprise. So we have this service consumer, also called the application owner, and this is really the guy that develops the code. And this guy is responsible for testing, for building, for maintaining, and for optimizing the software they're actually sitting there developing every day when they go to work. The other thing we have here, and on the other side, we really have the service provider or the data center administrator. And this guy is supposed to deploy the software that the person on the left side has built, supposed to operate it, and when something goes wrong, he's supposed to bring it back up. And then lastly, at the joint effort, they have optimizing. Some of you, how many of you have in-house development right now? Let me see some hands. Okay, that's quite a bit. That's good. So how many of you are doing your own operations of those apps? Is that one-to-one? Probably yes. So I can see there's someone knocking here, and that's fine. So really the point here is also to have a more structured way to get the application owner and the data center administrator to talk together. And what we truly believe by putting together this scenario is that the more we can automate and the more we can integrate these scenarios and we can define a standard for how we do things, once we have defined that standard, we can integrate the different tools we're using in that lifecycle process. And once we're integrating those, we can automate that whole process, having minimal manual steps that we need to do. We all know that we hate to copy text from one window over to another window, and then suddenly we make a spelling error, and suddenly something is not working. That's really what we're trying to minimize here by making a joint collaboration between these two personas. And I've been in operations myself where I said, and it was also what Brad mentioned, what I personally call the blame game. And we also know sometimes when an application is not working, I call the networking guy saying there's something wrong with the network, and they say, no, it's the server guys, and the application guys say, no, it's the network guys. So we really want to stop what we call the blaming game and start an efficient process here and actually figure out what's going on. So what we're also seeing here is really the application life cycle and some of the common challenges we have in here. And really what we have on the one side is the developer that is testing and they are doing release management, really have this project going on their side of the fence. And then in many cases, they develop and really things that the operational guys is really the annoying ones that always pings them about problems that they're asking them for all the time that it's really just because they don't know the application, probably because the application people haven't told the operation sites enough about how it works. But also what we want to do once we put it into production, this application, is of course we want to monitor it so we actually know the status of it, how it's operating inside the data center, and of course we also want to monitor it so we can optimize it, so we can make it work better. And one thing we also want to show is, of course, we want to optimize it all the way into the .NET layer. So if something happens inside this .NET layer, we have an error or something is not performing as it should, we can actually take very specific data, the same data that was shown in the keynote today, and we can bring that over to the right people. So that's really what we're showing here, how there is a life cycle between development and operations. So again, if we look at these two personas are using some applications to do their everyday work. And it's really, we want to focus on these two personas once more, where we have the application owner on the one side, and then we have the data center admin on the other side. So really, the app owner is using Visual Studio all the time. That's the console they know. That's where they feel safe. They can flip every bit inside that tool. That's really what they want to use every day. So inside Visual Studio, they normally have TFS that sit and use there, and they have some projects that they're working on. That's really where they feel home. That's where they feel safe. Now, in some cases, when they're done using their software, they want to release it, or they want to create a change, and after that, they want to have it released. That's really when they want to put that into production. What we want to do here is really going over and use the pillar that we use in System Center called Service Delivery and Automation, where we actually, from Visual Studio, is creating a change over in Service Manager, where we have Service Delivery and Automation. So we use two tools here. We use Orchestrator and we use Service Manager to really provide that integration. The next thing we want to do is actually get it out into the infrastructure where we configure and deploy it. Here we can use a tool like Configuration Manager, or we could also use a Virtual Machine Manager depending on what fits your needs the best. So once we have done that, what we want to do here is really to monitor and operate the application that we just deployed. And in case something happens here, we really want to raise an incident back into Service Manager. And this is really, once we have raised that incident in Operations Manager, the signal is a little slow here, we can actually go over and create an incident in, or a bug in TFS. And that's really how we see that lifecycle going on and on and on, using both TFS and the System Center products. So if we look at it overall, there's really three things we want to drive when we look at System Center as a whole. So it's really a suite of components, but if we look at the strategy that we're doing with System Center 2012, it's really primarily these three things that we see up here. So standardization is one of the things. If I can sit down and I can make a standard between development and operations on how we should actually work and how we should exchange data at any given point in time, I know what I can expect if I can define what is needed when and how that data should be exchanged. So that's really what we want with standardization. The next thing we want here is integration, because if we don't have integration, it's going to be really hard to do the last one, which is automation. So integration allows us to move data from one product over to another product without having to cut and paste. If we add automation to that, now we can actually do it without having any manual intervention in between. That's really what we want to do, because we can do things faster, we'll make less errors, and we can actually also document what it is we're doing in the infrastructure. So really just what we're doing in this scenario is kind of releasing, we are keeping release out a little bit, but release also plays a very important role here. So release management is typically in projects versus IT operations, is really that we see that we have a TFS project up there, then we have IT operations. The point in time where you take the software and you throw it over the fence is really where you want to do change and release management, depending on what scenario you have. So that's really how we define that. Really, change management makes decisions about one individual change you want to put into the infrastructure. Release management bundles up those changes and put them into the infrastructure in a packaged way. So the scenario we're going to show here, really to get into the demo part, is really we want to detect, analyze, fix, deploy, verify, and then close and resolve. That's really what we see as part of a life cycle between development and operations. So what we're doing is that we have an application called Dinner Now. We are selling food over the internet, and people can then go in to this web portal and they can order some food, and then it can be delivered to their door. So really what we're doing in the first scenario here is that we're going into Dinner Now and we're actually seeing that Dinner Now is performing very, very slow. What we then do here is that we will see that Operations Manager will pick up that Dinner Now is not really operating as it should, and it will send an alert, it will raise an alert in Ops Manager that it will then forward over to Service Manager as a ticket. Now, what we saw earlier today in the keynote was actually that we're coming out with a connector between Operations Manager and TFS, where you can actually take those alerts and pump them from Ops Manager directly into TFS. Well, the reason why we're not doing that in this scenario is because there's an aspect inside of the IT that we really want to have a broader picture of what's going on. So all the alerts that is being raised in Operations Manager, we want to combine that with all the calls that the users are making in to the service desk. So we actually understand what has Operation Manager reported, and at the same time, what are the users calling in and complaining about, so we actually understand what's going on at a broader view. Because once we have it over here, we can start analyzing this in Service Manager, where we have a list of all the incidents for all the different sources we have inside IT, from monitoring, from users, they're sending emails, and doing other stuff. We can combine them, list them as incidents, create those, and then we can actually take those and start analyzing what's going on here. In this scenario, you really can't find the root cause, so we go in and create a problem. So we get a developer to actually, we request some help from a developer. At the point in time where we created the problem, we actually pump, we can, in that problem, we can create a TFS bug right inside from the service manager console. And that's really where we raised that bug in TFS. When we erased it, we actually troubleshoot a little bit and we actually start fixing this bug. And then we get back to that, but let's just jump into to a quick demo. So once we actually done that, we go back into to TFS and we actually say that we have built the software. We make the changes to the code, we are packing it up, we're actually putting a build in TFS that we want to put out there. Once we take that build and we tell in TFS that we have now completed that, Orchestrator would actually pick up that build and pump that into Configuration Manager. So we are taking the software from where we're building it, we're moving that over into Configuration Manager, where we're creating a package using Orchestrator. So over there, we create a test package, and we associate that with the deployments, and we want to push that into our test environment. So in this scenario, it's the developers that are responsible for doing the testing. Then, at the same time, we're actually creating a change that we want to put this software into production. Then OWN Configuration Manager will actually test and validate that that is happening. So with that, let's just show you in real life what I just explained up here.
Okay, let's see. Here we go. So the scenario is that we have a user called Anders who usually orders his food through DinnerNow. He's been experiencing some performance issues lately, but he's again back at DinnerNow ordering some food. So he enters his zip code, and he wants the food within 45 minutes. Now, he's starting to feel the same way again. The performance is not really there. So actually, today he just he gives up. Okay, he wants to call the service desk that runs this application and report the problem, the issue. But before we take a look at how that would go through, let's take a look in Operations Manager and see if we have anything there. Okay, so here we have actually APM reporting the same thing that Anders is experiencing live. So APM will give us the actual application insight with all the technical details that will be very valuable for the developers. Okay, so we have the information there. Maybe Anders, are you here? Could you maybe call the service desk?
You're an angry user, you should call them. What do you normally use? How many of you in here have Link? Okay. And how many of you are using Service Manager or are considering using Service Manager in your close future? Okay. So Anders, could you please call the help desk and let them know that you have an issue?
Ah, here we go. That's Anders, right? So immediately, we actually have something that is shown outside of GridPro's doors for the first time. This is actually a CTI integration that we're working on that brings up the calling user's information from Service Manager. So this is a very early version, but we wanted to show you how this could be done. Basically, on the left-hand side, we have work items related to Anders, so he's been calling before. We have configuration items related to Anders. And we can start to interview Anders if we're talking to him, or just we could fill in the text that he actually is writing to us from the IM window. And he's experiencing some DinnerNow performance issues. And we want to pick a template on the right-hand side. So when we started to chat with Anders, we didn't know what this was. What was the reason for his call? Was it a service request or was it an incident? Now we figured out that this is an incident, right? So we picked the appropriate template. And we want to enter the DinnerNow application there as instructed by the template. And then we just click register. So boom, there we go. We've registered an incident in Service Manager. So if we head over to Service Manager, we should now have, First of all, the incidents reported by APM and Operations Manager transferred over to the through the connector to Service Manager. We should also have the incident registered manually by the call center operator, right? So actually, when I was receiving the message there, I was acting as the call center operator. So when this view finished loading, we should see these incidents. We should also see the information or a small description of the information provided by MPM, APM in the incidents. So when we have the incidents there, we decide that we don't know the root cause of this, and therefore we want to go ahead and register a problem around this. So actually here we have the manually registered incidents, and we have two incidents created through the connector to Service Manager from Operations Manager. So let's create a problem that relates to these guys. So if we look at the, let's see here, I missed one. If we look at the related incidents in the problem record, we actually get those incidents that we wanted to relate in here. Let's see. Come on. What was the number of that one? IR665. There we go. Okay, so now we have the incidents that we found in the seem to be right now regarding this problem. So let's give the problem a description. We have a dinner now performance issue. Please investigate root cause of the issue. Okay, just an example. Now, when we have this problem registered, we decide to bring in a developer from the development team to take a look at this and see if they can figure out if this could possibly be a bug or if it's something in the infrastructure. And the developer takes a look at the related incidents and he figures this is probably a bug in the software. So he uses this console task. And he says that, well, this is actually, this has such an impact that we want to do a hot fix for this problem, or for this bug. So into this form, we copied the title and description, and also the problem ID. And we use this console task to register the bug in TFS. So if we head over to Visual Studio, and look at the bugs registered here, we actually have a new one called PR683 Dinner Now Performance Issues. If we open this one up from the developer's side now, right? So the developer working on taking a look at this bug and possibly creating the fix for it, they can use a link down here. If the information isn't sufficient for him to figure out what the bug is, he want to head over to Service Manager, right, to take a look at the work items there and see if there's some more important information in the incident records that could be useful, that could help him out to figure out what the problem is in the software. So we actually added a URL here that brings the developer over through a Service Manager web console. This is also a third-party solution from GridPro, which supports deep links. So he gets directly into the problem record. He can see the related incidents to the problem. You can open up the incident, and there he will find the information from APM. Now, if you combine the information provided by the end user when he called the service desk, where he described his experience of the Dinner Now application, if you combine that with the technical information provided by APM, This will actually shorten the time for the developer to find the root cause of this, in most cases at least. So let's say that the developer now figured out what was causing this bug, and he creates the fix for the bug. So he actually resolves the bug right here. Now this is where I want to hand over to my colleague.
Let's see.
Okay. Now when the bug has been marked as resolved, we will go in the orchestrator and see what happens there. We're using orchestrator in this scenario to automate the integration between the products. You will see that we will be using two sorts of runbooks. We'll be using monitor runbooks that will monitor for a change in the TFS, but we'll also be using monitors for detecting new builds. We'll show that later. The IPs we're using in this demo is the standard foundation objects, and we'll be also using Config Manager 2012 IPs, Service Manager 2012, and also the CodePlex TFS IP. If we look at the first runbook here, the thing we do here is that we, by a timer, is querying TFS for bugs that has been marked as resolved, but also eligible for being an emergency hotfix. The first thing we do is creating a change based on a template for this emergency hotfix. We're also parsing back information to that change request, information from the flow, so we can use it later in the flow. After that, we're triggering a build in TFS, so the solution is built. When that has been done, that the time for that differs, we monitor for that the build is ready. When the build is ready, the thing we want to do then is we want to create all the software application objects and release that to our test environment. So the second flow here. So we get all the information we need from the build. We create the source packages. We create the packages and the programs and distribute the software in Configuration Manager. But this stage, we also know because we deploy the software to the test servers so the testers can test the solution. But we also know the package ID and the program name. And we, in this runbook, we write it back to Service Manager so we can use the package ID, program name, and version at the later stage to automate the release of the software into production. And then we also write back in TFS that this release is ready for testing. So with this, I will...
So here we really just showed how we detect and fix that problem that was raised by Operations Manager from Alert and APM, and how also we combine that with a user calling in. And then we build a fix in TFS, and we actually deployed that into our test environment, and the testers have now sat and tested it, and they have confirmed that this fix is in fact working. So the next thing we want to do here is really the next thing we want to look at in this life cycle here is we want to change and deploy it into production. And here are some steps that we want to do on the way. First, in Service Manager, we want to look at that change that we created. So we want to make sure that we still maintain the control, that we're not putting anything into production at the same time where they're doing network updates or they are rebooting servers or something else, so it doesn't work. So really the change process is in there in order to help us to put this hotfix into production in a standardized fashion manner. So we have a flow of activities we want to do inside that change where we have the cap that takes a look at it. Then we actually verify that we have tested this change, which the developer will then do. And then after we have verified that we want to test that change, we get back to that when we show you that. Then we actually push it into production. So Orchestrator, once it receives that the change has now been given an OK to be put into production, Orchestrator kicks off once more and then actually reassociate the package that we built over to the servers that are currently running in production and push that out there. Then one thing we want to do after we have pushed it out into production is we need someone to actually go in and verify that it's also working in production. Once they have verified that, we actually go in and we close the change. So that's really what we see down here. We validate and we resolve. So we will go in, we set the change to completed because we have verified that is success. Then what Orchestrator will then do is it knows that this change was created based on a problem, so it goes back and resolves that problem. As we close that problem, we close the related incidents, and the related incident will close the alerts that we saw over in Operations Manager, and it will in fact also send an email to the guy that called into the help desk saying, we have now fixed the issues that you called us in about by implementing this change. So that's really what we're seeing here. So with that, I actually want to give it over to Patrick and Jonas so we can actually see how this works in real life.
Okay, just to do a recap first. So what Jonas showed you earlier was actually also creating the change request, as Jonas mentioned. So what we're going to do now is to go over to Service Manager, and we should find a new change request created by the Orchestrator workflow. Runbook. The change request is currently in progress. If we open up this change request, we'll see that we have the activities tab populated. So Orchestrator actually used a template existing in Service Manager to create the change request for this emergency software deployment, right? So first off, we have a cab review step. Let's do like this so you can see it a bit better. So we want to approve the change. So the cab approves the change. Let's do that. There we go.
Yeah, one thing to mention here is really that we just had one person to approve in there, but Service Manager gives you the possibility to actually have multiple people that can go in and vote here. So you can have someone from network or the server guys, or the reason why you normally see a cab, and you can even have people that has veto in there. We just want to simplify it here that we're not running around approving for five people. So it's really just to simplify that scenario here, but you can absolutely do that if you wanted to.
Exactly. So the second step is actually getting that feedback from the test manager where he takes on the responsibility saying that the hotfix was actually resolved and when they did the tests, everything was fine. So the test manager goes in and says that the tests are completed and he takes on the responsibility for that. There we go.
Yeah, so this was actually the software that was distributed out to the test servers earlier that imagine that a tester has sitting and played around and run through the various scenarios. That is actually what he goes into Service Manager now to actually complete or to approve or verify that he actually did tested it and it is working as designed.
Correct. So the third step is basically having the change manager approving the deployment to production. Now we know that the bug has been fixed. It's been tested in the test environment. Test manager takes on the responsibility and the change manager approves the deployment to production. So let's have him place the vote here. And this is, I mean, of course, your processes can absolutely differ, so this is just a suggestion of how it would look. So now what's happening is that Service Manager's internal workflows drives the process further, and the next activity in line here in the change request is an activity called deploy software. And when the deploy software activity kicks in, this is basically a runbook activity tied to Orchestrator. So I would like to have Jonas further tell you about.
So some of you might not have seen all of Service Manager 2012, but one functionality we actually put in here is that we combine Service Manager and Orchestrator. So what we can do with activities inside what you see up here is that we can actually, when this activity runs, it will call over into Orchestrator and pass the information that we have in order to actually run that runbook over in Orchestrator. So we can actually initiate those runbooks from within the tasks that you see up here.
Yes. So as you saw in the first runbook, we have some activities that were updating Service Manager. So if we go into this activity now, that is a runbook activity, we will see that this information has been written back to Service Manager. By writing it back to Service Manager, we can now use that information to create a deployment when deploying to production. So this is a way, and we will also do that in the last step of this change, is a way of parsing information forth and back to the to Service Manager. So if we go back to the Orchestrator console, and we check some of the flows here, runbooks here, we have a very simple runbook that parses, takes in the information that we were talking about earlier, and create deployment for the production servers. And when that is completed, the change request continues. And I will also go into the Config Manager console to see that this isn't a hoax. Just showing you that we are creating the package, we are distributing it, we are putting it to the production servers. So, as Anders told us before, this is not a requirement that we need to use Config Manager. We can use whatever system you're having, or if it's VMM, or if it's virtual application and so on. So, it's just the runbook you need to change to deploy this to some other environments.
Yeah, so if we wanted to, we can just get that runbook to call Virtual Machine Manager, and then it could use that engine there to push the software out.
And also that the build runbook that builds the release could also build a VMM machine with the release software, and then we do it to production. Yeah. Sure.
Hello.
Sorry for this mic changing. We're one mic short here today. So let's go back to Service Manager, to the change request. So we saw that the runbook activity came in progress, which was doing the deployment to the production environment. And now we're actually waiting for Service Manager to query Orchestrator again, to get the feedback from Orchestrator saying that the runbook has completed, we have deployed to the production environment, so we can go further in the change request with a post-implementation review, making sure that everything has gone fine. And when that has actually completed, we have another runbook activity that will use the problem record ID written back by Orchestrator, and it would actually go and get the problem record, resolve that one, resolve all the related incidents, and that should also close the alerts related in Operations Manager. So if we can just get that feedback back from Orchestrator, we should be able to continue here. It's probably taking a few more seconds. Anything you want to add, Anders?
Yeah, I mean, what we want to do also in this process, I mean, there's certain things we really can't automate. And we saw that when we were testing. So in the testing phase, we actually needed the developer to go in and say, yes, I tested all the scenarios that were described. Some of that is pretty hard to automate. And the same thing actually happens when we are in production, where we actually want to go in and say, after we have deployed the software using whatever distribution method mechanism we have, we can actually go in here and actually verify that this hotfix that we created is in fact working for dinner now. So by doing that, we actually can go in and say, yes, we implemented the way we wanted, everything went smooth, or you might have some comments after the deployment. So once this one kicks off, it actually goes in and says, since the changes now have been completely implemented, we can now go over and close the problem that we created in connection with this change.
Okay, so Orchestrator reported back that everything went fine. And now we want to go through the post-implementation review. Let's just mark that as complete. Which should bring us into the final activity, right? So again, there's these internal workflows in Service Manager that picks up the next activity in line, which is now a runbook activity. So as soon as this runbook activity kicks in, that will actually run the runbook in Orchestrator that fetched the problem record. So let's see if we can get that going. There it is. So let's first take a look in Operations Manager, and we see that we still have those two alerts from earlier. And if we go back to Service Manager and find the problem record, here we go. We had the dinner now performance issues. If we take a look at the status here, it's still active because the runbook in Orchestrator is still running. It's picking up the problem record, and we should have that one resolved within seconds. And this is basically standard features of Service Manager, and using the integration pack within Orchestrator, this is really a simple task. Since we put that problem record ID back into the change request runbook parameter, we're able to trigger this anywhere in the change request process we would like. So there it goes, the problem record is resolved. And if we check the related incidents, we can see that those has also been resolved. And that is based on Orchestrator actually putting this out to resolve all incidents associated with this problem the same time as it resolved the actual problem. So now we have the incidents resolved, which also closes the alerts in Operations Manager. There we go.
So this is really an example of how we actually taken a whole life cycle using both the developer and using the operations people, where we started with finding a bug. We fully automatically took that information from APM, took it over into Service Manager, and we use our incident process actually there to make sure that we prioritize it right, that dinner is in fact down, we want to do something about it. We also combine that with Anders calling the help desk using Link, saying, hey, I need help, I don't think that dinner now is actually working. Combining these two incidents, putting them over to TFS, this is actually where we go into the developer world, which is normally kind of sealed off, nothing that the operations people ever deals with. But what normally happens today is that the information that is exchanged here normally goes into emails and information gets lost and all that. So it's really what we're dealing with here is really using standardization and integration and automation, so we have minimal manual activities in between, so we don't make any errors on the way that we make sure that the process we have described flows, because we're exchanging information on the way without having anyone to be at work or a specific person needing to do a specific task at any given point in time. So really what we just saw that demo here, just to summarize a little bit here, we just want to give you an idea of what products we used. Ops Manager, we used that actually to detect the problem in the lifecycle. The next thing we did was we used Service Manager to track it. After that, Orchestrator actually helped us provide information between TFS, so we actually opened that bug over in TFS. Once we have corrected our code or updated our code, TFS was waiting for that once TFS said that this is now resolved, Orchestrator was waiting for that and now took that software that we created in TFS and carried that over into Config Manager. And Config Manager was the tool here that we chose to actually put that into the test environment. And at the same time, we're not really having to do anything. What we're doing here is also that we comply with our change procedures by letting Config Manager know that we have an emergency fix we want to get out here. And then we actually following our standard change processes, making sure that we put these updates into the infrastructure in a standardized and automated way. After doing that, we'll actually go in and say, we've now verified that we have deployed this into production, and we use Virtual Machine Manager, Service Manager there to actually approve that. So the other pieces that we used in this scenario is TFS connector. So there is, in fact, a TFS connector up on Coplex that you can use that allows you to communicate with TFS. The power of Orchestrator is really that we have connectors to all the other System Center products. The missing link we had here was really the TFS connector. Once we have that, making this scenario wasn't really that hard because this TFS connector defines the way that we can talk to TFS. Then the other thing we used that we think is pretty fantastic is actually we gave you an example of how we could use CTI using another Microsoft product called Link, how I could actually chat or even call the service desk saying, I would like to have some help, where we saw this window pop up where I could fill in the information. And a common problem is that normally when a user is contacting the service desk, we don't really know at that point in time if we are creating a service request or we are creating an incident. But there was fully support for that. We could just pick the templates out in the out on the right. And then lastly, we used the web front really to integrate TFS and the problem and incident records so the developer could actually go in and see what those records look like in Service Manager. So that's really using all system, a whole lot of System Center products and also using the Team Foundation server. And by doing this, we really hope that at least some of the obstacles that the developers and the operations people are seeing today are made easier through this integration and automation scenario that we just showed you. So with that, we want to open up for questions. So if any of you are currently working on that or you have any questions or ideas on how to do that, please let us know. One thing we also would very much like to hear is any feedback that you saw on the CTI scenario, any features you would like to see, anything that was missing. Please step up to the mic and let us know about it. Let's see this one there.
So, hey, that was a great demo. I really liked the web forms part too. My question is, one of the things I see with Service Manager is people are looking at the release management, and they're looking at in the CMDB now, there's builds, there's environments. Have y'all tried to build anything to try to be able to pull build information and populate the CMDB with build information, pull the environment information maybe from lab management and TFS and populate that and use release records to try to do the same kind of thing you've done with change management? Because when I demo Service Manager and I show release management and I show its integration with change records,
yep,
right now, but people really get fixated on the wanting to be able to take, you know, once we specify a build as a good build in TFS, by changing the build quality, can we deploy it with a release record? So I didn't know if there was anything, if y'all had tried to do anything like that.
We haven't tried it so far, but really the next step is to do what you're talking about. It's really taking, if we had four changes, we really just didn't have the time here. Right. But the idea is really that we have maybe five software changes we want to put into the environment that are not emergency fixes that we want to do every like quarter on Patch Tuesday. So we can take all those and kind of just rerun what we showed you here, just not having the software defect.
Okay.
So really just the TFS projects that are lining up to be finished, there might be, I don't know, 25 software updates we want to put in there. We really just run that 25 times, and we can take all those changes and bundle those up into a release, and then we rerun the cycle once more. So it's only when we get to the release that we actually go into Config Manager and associate that to production.
Okay.
So then Config Manager will kind of run a loop once in the release process, and once it has actually put every single software package into production, it will go back to the change and close those as they have been implemented.
Okay. And do you know if the integration pack right now works with TFS 11?
I know
you were showing TFS 2010. I know y'all were running with TFS 2010. Does it work with the TFS 11 beta that's out right now?
We haven't tested that,
okay.
but it's up on Coplex, and the source code is there, so it really shouldn't, if you're good at looking at that stuff.
I'm going to go play with it. I was just curious to give it a try.
So,
thank you. That was a great, great presentation. Thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Thanks. More questions?
Okay, so at least we hope that you get inspired from seeing this, and you can go home and talk to your developers, and the developers can talk to the ops people, and you can start to become really good friends. At least that's what we're trying here. But thank you very much for coming. Please complete your email.
Thank you.
You'll get a lot from us.